Welcome to Colonalfarnia, West Coast.
Yeah, Kelowna, baby, best place in the world right here.
Colonalfarnia, 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 Colonalfarnia.
Hey. 8:05 on a Friday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. This makes me feel happy inside. That really does.
It's weird.
Hey!
I recognize some of the girls in this video.
You don't say. You don't say. So tell me, I know we got Batch on the line. He can listen to this story. I'm sure it's great. Tell me about your experiences in Kelowna. You worked at a radio station?
Yeah, I worked at AM 1150 and The Juice with Drex, actually, who's now at
The Juice?
The Juice?
Was it sponsored by steroids?
Wasn't a sports station.
You're listening to The Juice.
That's right. Brought to you by the number two currency in Kelowna, steroids.
The other station was called Barbed Wire Tattoo.
That's right. Jet Ski Radio. What was it like living up there?
It's great in the summer. In the winter, it's awful. It's just gray and cold.
We give Kelowna a hard time.
Oh my God,
on the
Juice.
The Juice, that's so great. Coming to you live, you're listening to The Juice.
You're listening to The Juice.
That's good. That's really good.
That's so perfect.
All right, focus. Focus. Pull it back together.
I'm crying.
That's pretty good. What could you possibly name the radio station in Kelowna? I've got an idea. All right, let's go to the phone lines now, joined by the voice of the Vancouver Canucks right here on Sportsnet 650. Brendan Batchelor joins us now on the Halford and Brough Show. What up, Batch?
Not much. Yeah, it does feel like The Juice is pretty appropriate branding for a Kelowna-based radio
perfect.
Station, doesn't it?
Perfect. It's amazing. I'm so glad Dom has brought this into our life. Okay, we got to focus here, Batch. We got to focus. There are some serious business at hand here pertaining to the local hockey squadron. We wanted to get you on because we're wondering if you're ever going to call a Canucks game again. What are you hearing? What are people telling you? Because it's, you know, the broadcast side of this is also kind of important, and it's, you know, also on a regimented schedule. You guys need to know what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. And right now, it seems like there's a lot more questions than there are answers.
Yeah, I was getting ready to dig into my prep on the Edmonton Oilers yesterday, and then obviously, it became clear that that game wasn't going to happen. What it sounds like they're going to do now is they're going to bump the Leafs game to Sunday and play Toronto Sunday, Monday is kind of what I've been hearing. But at the same time, Elliot Friedman says this all the time, you know, in COVID, it's hard to predict what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. So as of right now, that's what I'm sort of mentally preparing myself for is a Sunday, Monday back-to-back set against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, that could change in a few hours. It could change before the end of the day. It certainly is a developing situation, and it's just another one of those things that really we've all had to learn since the start of the pandemic is to be adaptable and to be prepared for pretty well anything to happen. And so that's how I'm sort of looking at this from a broadcast perspective, and I'm sure the NHL is living day by day and minute by minute with this as well.
Batch, would you be calling a game tonight if JT Miller had not done that Zoom press conference?
Yeah, probably. He deserves a lot of credit for speaking out and speaking his mind. And I think saying what a lot of people had privately been thinking and saying within the organization. But he stepped up to the plate. And the league and the Players Association, I think, had to take notice once he made those comments. So, you know, full credit to him. And this is a guy that's ultra competitive, right? We saw it early in the year. He was criticized for, getting too angry and letting his emotions show through a little bit too much on the ice. So he's an ultimate competitor. You know, if there's a guy that wants to get back on the ice and try to win games and do what he can to help his team, it's JT Miller. So I think it speaks volumes that it was him that said, you know what, hey, maybe we need to take a second here. And I thought his quote about, the playoffs not mattering, it being about the health of his teammates and their families and everyone in the organization, were very accurate, very well timed. And I think you're right. I think they're probably playing the Oilers tonight if JT Miller doesn't step up and force the league and the powers that be to take notice of the situation with the Canucks, because, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard a lot of the same things that I have, that with this variant, some of the symptoms that some of these players are facing have been, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to say severe, right? Like, nobody's been hospitalized, but there are guys that are having a tough time recovering from this. There are guys that are, you know, still dealing with relatively serious after effects, and, you know, to force them into game action when A, they wouldn't have everyone, and B, the guys that they do have would be far from 100% in terms of, you know, their fitness level after missing so much time. It wouldn't have made a lot of sense. And you know what? Even though they're postponing it a couple of days, it seems like it's still going to be tough for this team to get back on the ice on Sunday, if that is indeed when it happens. So I'm sure a couple of practice days will help a bit in that regard, but, you know, this is not going to be an easy task for this team, no matter what way you slice it.
I wonder, obviously, health and safety is the primary focus here, but I wonder in the back of their minds, or maybe at the front of their minds, how much potentially getting lit up by an Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid played into this, because JT Miller mentioned those players. He said, look, you know, we're supposed to be playing two of the best players in the world, and he met McDavid and Draisaitl on Friday, and then right after that, Austin Matthews and one of, you know, the best team in Canada is coming in here, and I'm out there skating, and I didn't even have COVID, but my lungs are burning just because I haven't been doing anything for 2 weeks. I've been just sitting there, and, you know, you lose that pretty quickly. I wonder how much that played a role in it, that they didn't want to go out there and feel, you know, completely out of shape or exhausted, and then have these guys come in who have not been resting and, you know, run all over them.
No, yeah, mid-season form, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are hard enough to contain anyway, let alone, you know, having had that long of a break. And the same goes for Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and the Leafs. So I agree completely that, you know, will have played a factor. But you know what? At the same time, for entertainment value's sake, those games would not be fun for anyone to watch, really. I guess maybe if you're a Leafs fan and you enjoy seeing Austin Matthews put up a ton of points, then maybe you'd be happy. And certainly with some of those teams battling for playoff positioning, they could use the points. But, you know, with a Canucks roster that probably wouldn't have looked representative of the roster that, you know, stepped onto the ice on March 24th in terms of guys not being back yet and call-ups having to play, and then taking into account that all these guys haven't played in 3 weeks, you know, the games probably would have been ugly. You know what? There's a chance that they are ugly, you know, once they get back on the
totally.
Ice, even though they've had
totally.
A couple of days off here.
Who are you looking forward to seeing down the stretch? Like, what are the we're trying to get, you know, the listeners interested in the Canucks once they do return, because it kind of helps ratings and whatnot when people are interested in the Canucks. But
don't say it out loud.
Right. Okay. I've said too much. But what is going to hold your attention? Obviously, the play-by-play guy will be held. His attention will be held by the actual play on the ice. But as far as narratives and storylines, what are you watching down the stretch? Are you still an in the playoffs hunt guy, or will something else probably hold your attention?
No, I'm not an in the playoffs hunt guy, just because it's to me so unrealistic to expect that with everything that's happened. Now, you know, if they come in and start winning games and maybe the Canadians continue to lose some, then you can have that conversation. But this schedule is going to be so taxing. They're not going to have all their regular guys, at least to start. I'm excited to see who gets the opportunity and who can do the most with that opportunity. Obviously, the first name that jumps to mind is Olli Juolevi, who, you know, looks like he's going to get back into the lineup on a relatively consistent basis. You know, their new acquisitions at the trade deadline and Matthew Highmore and Madison Bowie, I think, are both guys that have a lot to gain as players coming in and are likely going to get, you know, at least a decent opportunity to showcase themselves the rest of the way to try and prove that they can be long-term members of this organization. I know Bowie was really outspoken in his media availability about wanting to make Vancouver his long-term home and wanting to be a piece of the puzzle here. And, you know, with the way the schedule is going to be, they're going to need more than six defensemen, right? So it's not going to be Olli Juolevi every night. there will be guys worked in and out of the lineup just to keep everybody fresh, I would imagine. So we'll get a good look at Bowie, I would assume, and Ualevi on the back end, you know, Highmore up front, and really any of the other young players they can work into the lineup. You know, I guess there's a chance that they have to play a young goaltender like Mikey DiPietro or Artur Silov. So, you know, this to me feels like one of those stretches late in the year where you can learn a lot about a lot of the pieces that you have that you hope can be a part of your team for the years to come. And, you know, wouldn't it be a great story if they have a young player come in and really do well? And even though this team isn't playoff bound, you know, add another guy to the list of players that you hope can help stay with you long term and be with you when you want to be able to win and contend.
What does Ualevi need to do in order to gain the coach's trust? Because I think he played a very safe game for the most part. But ultimately, I didn't feel like he had the coach's full trust, considering his ice time, his deployment, and the fact that he hasn't played since February. And once Travis Hamonic seemed to find his game a little bit and Jordy Benn was having some success, you know, Ualevi didn't get a sniff. So what does he need to do going forward?
Yeah, I actually thought he was playing some of the best hockey we'd seen him play right before he came out of the lineup.
Yep, and agreed.
You know, he was kind of a victim of the numbers game with Hamonic coming back from injury. And you know, right around that time, the Canucks turned their game around and started playing a lot better as well. So to me, that speaks more about why he's been out of the lineup than his play. To me, he does have to be, you know, safe and simple, I guess, would be the way I would describe it, where you know, that seems to be the kind of game that will work for him at this point. You hope maybe that there's offensive upside and flashes of that as he goes forward. But, you know, when you're in the situation he's in and you talk about it where, you know, it seemed like at times he had a tough time gaining the trust of the coaching staff, a tough time getting ice time, you want to be as unnoticeable as possible in that you make the safe play, the right play every time. You try not to turn the puck over. You make sure you're strong positionally. For him, obviously, his skating is something that we've talked about for a while. So, you know, understand where he has to be on the ice so that he doesn't get exposed by speed to the outside from players like McDavid and you know, mm-hmm. others in this division that can really do that. Those are the things I'd be looking for from Ole Ualevi, and I'm sure Travis Green and the coaching staff would be looking for those things, too, to try and keep him on in the lineup on a consistent basis, because, you know, as much as fans want to see him every night and expect him to play every night, there was a good stretch this year where Jalen Chatfield played over him, mm-hmm. and that was, you know, a coach's decision. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Ualevi gets in every night, especially with Bowie coming in now, too. So he will have to earn those minutes going forward, even though Jordy Benn is no longer with the organization.
I actually wonder if safe and careful, I get you want to make the high percentage play most of the time, but if you're the coaching staff and you're looking at, or you're the management and you're looking at your defense going forward, like what do you think Ualevi wants to be? Because if he wants to play safe and, you know, doesn't make any mistakes, then I think he's headed for a bottom pairing role. Because you have to make some plays in order to play in the top four. Like you can't just be constantly, all right, get the puck out, safe play. I'm not going to really add too much to the offense. As long as I don't screw up, I'm just going to be invisible here. It sounds good in theory, but I don't. Is that going to impress the coaching staff? Do you get that feeling?
Well, I think that's more what he has to do in the short term to stay in the lineup, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that's, we've seen Travis Green with young players, right? Costly mistakes or things that, you know, jump off the page and are reasons he'll pull guys out of the lineup. So I'm talking more about, you know, gaining the trust of the coaching
sure.
staff, showing that you can be reliable defensively. You know, then you get the opportunity to continue to play. But as you grow and become more comfortable in the league, you're right. You can't just be, you know, off the glass and out guy every time. You have to be able to make plays. And I believe Ualevi can make plays and will be a defenseman that, you know, maybe he won't be as high-flying offensively as people would have hoped when he was drafted. But I do think there is still that capability within his game that, you know, as he gets more experience in the league and hopefully gets more playing time, you know, he'll be able to unlock those attributes as well.
Because there is a massive opportunity for him in Vancouver. Alex Edler's a pending UFA. He might come back. He might not. Jack Rathbone, I imagine, is looking at that top four spot in Vancouver on the left side. That's assuming that Nate Schmidt stays on the right side. And he's probably thinking, that's a spot that I would like to have. It seems to me that this is a prime opportunity for Ole Ulevi to show that he can be part of the team next season and maybe even important piece of the team going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you know, as a guy that was drafted as high as he was, he would have expected to have an opportunity at that role before now. Obviously, things haven't worked out to the degree he would have liked or the Canucks would have liked, in large part due to injuries. But what happens when you know, you take a little bit longer to develop is that other guys come up, you know, behind you and they're going to push you as well. So there's definitely going to be competition for roster spots on the back end going forward, whether it's Rathbone or Ulevi, or Chatfield, who they've had in the lineup at stretches this year, who the organization has, you know, at times been very high on. All of these guys are going to have to battle for these spots, and, you know, certainly none of them have guaranteed spots in the lineup. So if Ulevi does get a chance to play and play an extended run down the stretch this year, that's something that maybe he will have a leg up on some of those other guys, is that the organization can have more of a book on him and he gets a better chance to understand what he needs to do at the NHL level to come back and earn a spot, not just on the roster for years to come, but potentially try and prove that he'll be a guy that can play up the lineup as well.
Batch, great stuff today, man. Thanks a lot for doing this. Best of luck with your next call, whenever that is. And once you do start calling games again, we'll get you back on.
Thanks, guys. I've got to go do my interview with the Juice now, so I'll let you go.
Enjoy. K27 on a Friday, Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. I know we have like a million things to get to on this program. There's a lot of Ask Us Anythings and what we learns, but someone just texted in, Ask Us Anything. In an alternate timeline, could the Halford and Brough show be moved to mornings on The Juice?
103.9, The Juice.
In Kelowna.
What kind of music did they play?
It was like
thrash
a Jack
metal, mostly?
Jack FM.
Really. I just assumed that it was like a rotation of like Godsmack. And Stained.
Slipknot.
And Korn.
Tool.
Yeah, some Limp Bizkit. I imagine.
Oh, God.
I imagine every guy in Kelowna at one point looked like Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. But
in the summers, absolutely.
Now, I don't know if everyone's aware of this or not, but The Juice, J-U-I-C-E, no longer exists.
I love how I have to spell it out.
Yeah. In case everyone has any idea what we're talking about, The Juice, what? J-U-I-C-E, it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
It went under. So Dom was like their prank boy. Mm. Like, you know, the intern that you get in to do all the demeaning crap that nobody else wants to do?
Okay.
That was Dom.
Yeah, that was my first job in radio. And I had to wear an orange unitard as the station mascot.
Oh.
And we'd go in this black
Mustang.
Was
the station mascot just like a syringe or something?
It was
like that,
no.
That's a steroids joke.
Yes. We picked up on it.
Yeah.
In the hot days of summer.
You all had to wear tap-out board shorts together that you got from Winners.
That's a nice story you told there.
Anyway. Yeah.
Excuse me, are these your white wraparound sunglasses? No, those are mine. Okay, tell me more about wearing a unitard.
Oh, God. What has this turned into? So it's hot in the summer in Kelowna, and the station mascot is literally just a green man, but in orange suits.
Okay.
And we'd have to, it was me and two other folks.
Yeah.
And we'd get in this black Mustang in this orange unitard.
Of course you did. We would not
drive, obviously, because you can't see.
Yeah.
And they would drive us around to like parks and different events, and we'd have to give out literal juice boxes to like people, and that was the shtick. It's like, hey, listen to The Juice. Here's some juice.
Wow. It's hard to imagine the station didn't make it.
Did it do well for a bit?
God, I don't know. It's not around anymore, so I'm guessing the answer is no.
Okay. All right.
I guess it didn't have the juice.
No, it didn't. Mm. It needed a little poke in the butt.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we stop talking about this? And move on to Ask Us Anythings.
Mike wanted to bring it up. But...
From the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650, the smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. Got a few flagged here.
Sorry, one just came in. On the subject of Kelowna, Ask Us Anything. Does anybody know what happened to Ed Hardy?
It's still very prevalent.
You have all the graphics on your t-shirt. Old Ed threw all of them on that shirt of yours.
I have a friend that is from Kelowna.
Yeah.
He might be listening to the show right now. And so he has a job which sometimes brings him to Vancouver.
Okay.
So he ends up spending quite a bit of time in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. He's got like a Kelowna personality and a Vancouver personality.
I remember once
we were out and I guess he didn't have enough of his Vancouver wardrobe with him.
Oh no, he had the jeans, didn't he?
He had this very aggressive Ed Hardy shirt and he wore it and we're all like, I'm not going out with you like this.
There's so many graphics. It's like an eagle on a crucifix with a gun. I don't know why.
I think you spilled a lot of paint on your shirt there, buddy. And you apparently know what, some bedazzlers.
By the way, you know what I'm talking about with Kelowna jeans too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Heavy stitching. There's at least one design on the back pocket.
You know who rocks some good Kelowna jeans?
Who?
And I'm totally throwing them under the bus here. Was our old program director, Rob Gray.
Oh my goodness.
He had some.
Not...
It was do you remember?
I can't believe he did that. Poor guy's just living his life in his comfortable
Kelowna. Amazing.
Comfortable Kelowna jeans.
So bedazzled.
You know it though, right?
Yeah what? There's
Tom
stitching.
Is losing it right
there's
now.
There's so much stitching. Why are there stitches everywhere?
I hope someone's wearing those jeans right now and listening.
Just looking down.
What, these aren't cool? What?
In total shame. Wait a minute. There's a big number 7 emblazoned on my jeans. Is that weird?
Why are there horseshoes embroidered on the back?
The worst part is, or the best part is, that everyone listening right now knows exactly what we're talking about. More importantly, you know exactly who we're talking about.
Okay.
Focus.
All right.
Focus.
Okay. We did have a question. Oh, this is an unsigned text. Mm-hmm. Who will be my Bruff's playoffs mistress that he cheats on the Canucks with this year? So I didn't have one last year, but the year before was St. Louis.
You had
a blatant affair with the St. Louis Blues.
Right.
This all started in 2010-11 when we were doing the old Curtin Blog show.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, I really like the Bruins. Like, I like the way that team plays. They're a good team. They're tough. They stick up for each other. Little did I know that all that would come, you know, swinging back and punch me in the nose.
Aggressively.
So I've been a little hesitant to have affairs, but...
Right. So for the record, we have allowed that when the Canucks aren't in the playoffs, a brief dalliance, if you will.
Okay.
You're allowed to have an affair. It's like a hall pass.
Yeah.
Right? You're allowed to have... But generally speaking, we're dyed-in-the-wool, tried-and-true Canucks fans. Mm-hmm. We don't like bandwagon jumping. But for the purpose of getting excited about the playoffs, we'll allow the hall pass. So you punched yours 2 years ago with the Blues.
Mm-hmm. I wanted them to escape the sad club.
Do you have one?
Not right really now? This year. Maybe the Islanders.
Interesting.
Maybe the Islanders.
What's the hook there? What's the allure?
I think their fan base has just been through a lot.
Yeah.
I love that they've got a team. And don't get me wrong, like Barzal's a star.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you look at that roster, you're not like, wow, that team should win.
Right.
Right? If you look at Tampa Bay or you look at Toronto or you look at Colorado, those lineups are pretty loaded.
Because usually the de facto one... we had like the sad club thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then St. Louis kind of turned that on its head by escaping the sad club. There's not a team right now, unlike last year with Tampa Bay, where there's an inordinate amount of pressure. I'd say the team that's facing the most pressure going into this postseason is Toronto. Is that fair?
Yep.
Dom's nodding along there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure it is.
And I don't think, you know what, but I don't think it's especially close. Like, I don't see another team in that realm, right? Mm. I guess Vegas, from the sense of there's an internal expectation that they're in go-for-it mode. But big picture, like, they've been in the league for 4 years. Like, how much pressure could there possibly be, right? You go down the list, Carolina.
I don't want Carolina to win because then I just don't want, like,
But they've also won a cup within the last, yeah, like, 15 years, right?
I'm also a tried and true, like, I believe in the use of analytics. Mm-hmm. But I don't want that to become the focus. I just don't want to hear it over and over and over and over again. I don't want to fight the same battles that we've, mm-hmm, been fighting.
Okay, and then there's Florida. Florida's long-suffering, but I don't think they're a legit contender this year. I don't think there's pressure going into the playoffs. Like, if they go on a run, it'll be...
I think there's pressure in the playoffs, especially if they match up against Tampa Bay, but that would be, like, organizational pressure.
Right.
Nothing compared to the Leafs or anything like that.
And then that's really it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I could get behind a Canadian team. I think the thing would be is that if it's Toronto, Montreal in the first round, I'd be, mm-hmm, all aboard Montreal.
Yeah, me too.
And then mostly, after that,
but that would mostly be anti-Leafs. I mean, I'm a big fan of Brendan Gallagher. I like seeing him do well. I'm a big fan of Carey Price. But you know, I'm not going to sit there and be a huge Habs fan or anything. You all know my feeling about cheering for other Canadian teams. I mostly just, mm-hmm, cheer against them. A few people have texted and said they're going to go for Colorado this year, and I get that.
Yeah.
They're an exciting team, but they're in the Canucks conference. And I still have hard feelings from, you know, what, is it 20 years ago now?
Yeah. Jimmy
I still see Milan Hayduk in my nightmares.
Oh, take your pick. Forsberg, right? Hayduk, yeah. Sakic. They had a murderer's row of, mm-hmm, Canucks murderers.
I guess I'm over the 1982 Stanley Cup final, though,
because you're back
the
on the Islanders right, yeah, now. Jimmy, who spells it Jim A, J-I-M-M-A-Y.
Yeah, so you have to pronounce it Jimmy!
Jimmy! Okay. Jimmy says his Hall Pass team is the Winnipeg Jets. I have time for this, in only because the Jets, we've classified them as, like, non-offensive, right? Like, it's Winnipeg. They don't really think too highly of themselves. You never see any sort of, like, oh, man, big Winnipeg coming to dominate the media landscape. Like, it never happens. Mm-hmm. They're small. They're kind of quaint. You know, a lot of guys want to get out of there, so you kind of feel bad for them and that. And they've got a good team. But I'm not going to get, like, all aboard on the Jets bandwagon or anything. Do you, like, here's the thing. There's not a team right now that's got a lot of likable players or personalities. There's not a team where I gravitate towards, or, like, I really like them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I kind of like the Jets as an entity, but individually, like, Blake Wheeler.
Why do you like the Jets as an entity, then?
Because of everything that I said, like, they're like the least evil of the foes that you would be cheering for. Like,
is that the fan base or the guys on the team?
Fan base and the guys on the team, like, they're fine, right? They don't have any sort of heels. They don't have a Matthew Tkachuk. Like, I could never. Calgary is out just because of Tkachuk's presence. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not rooting for him. Forget that, right? And then Edmonton deserves no more good things. They had plenty. You don't get two generational talents. It's not fair. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, yeah, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Right. I guess Montreal. I like Galli a lot. Like, mm-hmm, Galli's a guy that I can get behind. Brendan Gallagher, right? Yeah, like, I like Brendan Gallagher, right? So there's a guy that I could be like, I will cheer for him personally.
Local kid. There's not in one the draft, of the, for, plays with, yeah, heart.
For me, there's not one of those on the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ask us anything. We've had this a few times. Why was it JT Miller and not Bo Horvat, the captain, making that speech?
Bo wasn't allowed to talk because he was in COVID-19 protocol. It's just like being an injured player. You don't do media avails. You're not considered part of the active roster.
Is that true? I didn't think you were going to make it up. Is that true? Really? I was just going to say that.
Made it up on the spot.
Sometimes there are personalities that don't mind doing that stuff or even thrive on doing that stuff. Now, I'm not saying that Bo's scared to do something like that. Mm-hmm. Although his personality, he's more conservative. Like, he just is. He's a reserved guy. He doesn't court controversy. JT Miller, he doesn't really care. Do you think? Like, he's just kind of, I mean, if you think back on the 2011 Canucks, it wasn't always Henrik Sedin that had to go and talk.
Right. Right. They had other guys to
I mean,
do
they
that.
Had way more talkative guys that weren't the captain.
I've read
Bieksa and Burrows and Kessler and
sure. they go down the list. There's a lot of guys who would talk publicly.
Players that didn't mind courting some level of controversy. They didn't shy away from it. I get what people are saying. I think that I would sooner have the question for ownership or the general manager. Mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't you have something out there if you've heard that your players are upset? And maybe they didn't hear. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the communication was like between management and player. But if you've had wind of the team being really upset, if not worried about playing, I know you work for your team and your team is trying to recover revenues. I know that you don't want to get on the wrong side of the league, mm-hmm. but ultimately your first loyalty has to be to your players.
For sure. For sure. It's been, I mean, the way that the media rollout, I guess for lack of a better term, is gone is pretty, there's a story there, right? You with me on that? Like having Miller talk, no mm-hmm. Benning, no ownership statement even. Like it's all very interesting and I'm not quite sure what to make of it yet. I don't want to be the super hot take artist and try and infer too much, but there's a story there that's percolating
mm-hmm.
and I just can't put my finger on it yet. Like
I would love to know some of the stories that have gone on behind the scenes.
Like
with the Canucks
there was
this
a conscious.
No, seriously. Like, yeah. If you look at how the season started mm-hmm. with some popular players going out the door and some new guys coming in, and then the season starts mm-hmm. so badly, we remember how grouchy JT Miller was.
Yep.
We remember that Elias Pettersson was, let's be honest, pouting at times.
Yep.
Do you remember that game that they won? And then they flashed to Petey on the bench. Everyone's celebrating around him, and he's just... I'm not ripping Pettersson here. I'm not saying, but
just
I'm just
making
saying,
an observation.
But I'm saying, like, wow, the frustration that he must have been feeling. And when things started going really pear shaped, and they went pear shaped early,
mm-hmm.
I think we almost forget how bad some of those losses got. Remember, we were comparing them to like a beer league team.
Yeah.
But with some of the mistakes they were making.
The Montreal loss. I know which one you're talking about.
You throw in the frustrations on the road, being out there and being like, man, this is like, this, we're losing. This life isn't fun right now. This stinks. There was probably a lot of frustrations behind the scenes. You got a head coach who doesn't have a contract extension, still doesn't. And then on top of all that, then this happens.
Let's take a quick break. Dom's in my ear, says we got to go. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch the dial. Don't change the station. I know. Don't change the station. John Shorthouse coming up on the other side, and we'll do more Ask Us Anythings and What We Learned. It's Halford. It's Brough. It's Sportsnet 650.
Bick and the Boss with Bick Nizar and Craig McEwen. Afternoons from 1 to 3.
.46 on a Friday, just a few minutes left in the Halford and Brough experience here for the week on Sportsnet 650. Kyle, the bus driver, who one, I want to give a shout out to because Kyle's been a long time listener and a long time texter. And the bus drivers they're an integral part of the Halbro experience, I would say. We get a lot of bus drivers listening to the show, texting in. When we did the live events, bus drivers seem to really gravitate towards our show.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the sitting for hours on end.
Probably.
With nothing to do but listen and ignore them. I would also probably don't want to engage that much with the public. But it's a tough job right now in the middle of a pandemic. So kudos to Kyle and all the bus drivers out there. Kyle wants to know, which NFL team are you low-key most intrigued to watch next season? So I was thinking about this one. And in a very weird way, my answer is the LA Rams. One, because I think they hold the key to the entire division that the Seahawks are in.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think the most intriguing story going to next season is Matt Stafford. Because Matt Stafford's old now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not for the earth, but for this league. Although with the quarterback position, it's changing. 12 years in Detroit, 3 playoff appearances, 0 playoff wins.
Yeah.
Largely seen as a guy that was kind of sabotaged by his own organization's continuous screw ups. Everyone seems to think that he's an upgrade over Goff.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going somewhere.
But is it a championship upgrade?
And that's
the big story because they gave up quite a bit to get him.
Like, is Matt Stafford going to go to LA and go 10-6, 9-7 and be.
Like, in some ways, I think he'll need to play better than kind of just managing the game. Mm-hmm. Can't just be a pure game manager. Just don't
he's got to win. He's got to go and win games,
but not to the extent that some of the elite have to go.
Because the Rams have the
He has to be, if there's fine, mm-hmm. very good, and excellent, very good would probably be acceptable.
Because the Rams have the best defensive player in football.
Yes.
And that is something that can get you a long way in a division that has talent, but is also kind of a flaw. Like, the Seahawks are by no means a perfect team.
No.
The Cardinals are by no means a perfect team, but they're prolific offensively. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to expect from the Niners. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, like, there's a lot of interesting quarterback stories at play, right? Like, I think Carson Wentz in Indy, reunited with Frank Reich, is an interesting one.
Can you imagine from, like, the first snap, if it's just clear that, nope, he's lost it?
Who, Wentz?
Yes.
Oh, God, could you imagine? Yeah. Indy will be like, now what do we do? I got another quarterback now. What about your Jets and Zach Wilson?
I'm a bit over it at this point. I'm a jaded Jets fan, so I'm at the point now where I'm just like, let me see if it happens, and if it does, it does. If it doesn't, then, oh, well, it's another year in the books.
Here's one for both of you. Considering that it's the Jaguars and they're completely irrelevant nationally and especially locally, how does the Trevor Lawrence thing move the needle at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, would you watch a Jaguars game?
Like. I want to see what he's like.
Him and Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it interesting. Because otherwise, it's Jacksonville, right? Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I've sat down to watch a Jaguars game. Probably when they were in the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Got a bit of news that I want to pass along.
Yes.
At 12:15 today, just after noon, Bo Horvat and Jim Benning will address the media.
Okay.
Note here that no Travis Green. So we don't even know if Travis is going to be ready to coach the Canucks whenever they return.
Right.
It's looking likely that, if you're just joining the show or the station, it's looking likely, according to reports, that the Canucks will play Sunday against Toronto and also Monday against Toronto. Originally scheduled and still scheduled for Saturday, that Leafs game, they would just bump that to Sunday, play back-to-back Sunday money against the Leafs instead of Saturday and Monday. That would make sense to me.
Yep.
Gives just an extra day, and I'm sure the Leafs are like, yeah, fine, whatever. Or they'll be forced to. Which would mean that only one more game would need to be rescheduled.
Right.
The Oilers game. Mm-hmm. That was postponed from Friday. We never really got into our poll question today.
No. As a matter of fact, we didn't at all. We've never mentioned it.
We didn't mention it at all,
no,
did we?
That was a big thing.
We're pretty good at our show.
Whatever.
Well, we need to get it sponsored.
Yeah, once we get it sponsored, we'll be mentioning it every 12 minutes.
Once it's sponsored, for sure. But the poll question was, will the Canucks play all 56 of their games this season? They got 19 left. Limited time to get them in, obviously. 71% of you say no. I actually did check this poll question earlier in the show, and I didn't want to read the results because 69% of people were saying no at the time. But now it's up to 71%. Yeah. So most of you out there aren't expecting the Canucks to finish their season.
I am. I think the NHL is hell-bent on getting everyone to 56.
Well, hold on. IMAC, when he joined us yesterday, did drop a bit of knowledge saying that coaches came into the season preparing their players as if they're not guaranteed to play all 56.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think that it's going to happen now. I think they're so close to the finish line that they want to get it all done. Put it this way. If the NHL is willing, and by all reports they are, to allow regular season games to be going on while playoffs are going on in other divisions, I think that speaks to how important they find every team getting to 56 games.
How awkward would it be, and I think Drancer mentioned this in his Athletic article, or one of them, how awkward would it be if the playoffs were going on in the States, so you had some pretty big matchups there. Like, you had Bruins Capitals. Mm-hmm. So Zdeno Chara playing for the Capitals up against the Bruins. So there's all that excitement down there. And then up in Canada, like, meanwhile in Canada, the Canucks and the Flames are playing out their string of games.
It'd be very awkward. And I think for the teams involved, in this situation, yeah, Vancouver and Calgary, they'd be like, why are we doing this? Right? They just go out and throw a no hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of skate around for 60
minutes. They should let a lucky fan in the lineup.
Why not? Well, COVID. Okay, we got a lot more to get to next week. We're done for now. That's it for today.
Oh, we didn't have time to get to Shorty.
Apologies to John Shorthouse. We ran out of time. We'll try again next week. We'll be better next week. I can't promise that.
He got bumped.
Apologies to Shorty. We got to get out of here. We're right up against it. Thank you for listening. I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. This has been Halford and Brough on Sportsnet 650.